Father, thank you for tonight, Lord. We thank you for everything you've been doing in these meetings, Father. We thank you that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever, Lord. We thank you that he's here tonight to help people, to answer questions, and to move mightily in our midst. And we thank you in advance, Lord, for all that you've done and all that you will do tonight. Lord, we love you, and we give you all the glory and all the praise. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. So we've been having a good time this week. How many, just as a testimony, throughout this weekend, you received something changed in your body, you received some kind of healing in your body? Would you raise your hand as a testimony and hold it up high so we could see it? Hold it up. Everybody look around. Amen. Let's thank God for that. Thank you, Lord. Amen. Praise God. And I know there's several that aren't here tonight, but we thank God for those. A lot of you guys witnessed those. Jesus does that. Amen. And tonight, I wanted to start off. Actually, Eddie read my scripture. Turn with me, if you will, to John 14, and we'll start in 9, verse 9. Thank you, Lord. Have you been having a good time? Good. All right, 14:9. Jesus said to him, "Have I been so long with you, and yet you have not come to know me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, 'Show us the Father'? Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father is in me? The words that I say to you, I do not speak on my own initiative, but the Father abiding in me does the works. Believe me that I am in the Father and the Father is in me. Otherwise, believe because of the works themselves. Truly, truly, I say to you, he who believes in me, the works that I do, he will do also, and greater works than these he will do, because I go to the Father. Whatever you ask in my name, that I will do, so that the Father may be glorified in the Son." Verse 14, and again he says it, if you ask me anything in my name, I will do it. Boy, I love those invitations from Jesus. How about you? Inviting us to ask him for something and say that he'll grant that request. Amen? That's encouraging. And I just want to talk tonight a little bit about how we started praying for the sick, and then talk a little bit how the Lord led me into it and my family. And then we'll minister to people tonight, and we'll see people healed and helped tonight, just like every other service. Not because I'm here, but because Jesus is here. And he is the same. The same Jesus that walked the shores of Galilee. The same Jesus who healed the woman with the issue of blood. The same Jesus who opened the eyes of the blind and caused the lame to walk. He's the same today in 2014. I'm glad we don't have a watered down, you know, Jesus 2.3 or amen. He's the same version. There's only one version, and he is the same, and he's alive today. Everybody say he is alive. So, you know, I was raised in a Christian home. How many were raised in Christian homes? Raise your hand. Amen. Thank God for godly parents, and I'm grateful for it. So many of us were, and they raised us, taught us to believe God and pray and love the Lord and love the Word. I love it. And my dad actually was the first one in my family to get born again, and he got born again before he was married, when he was still single and in the Marines. He was in Vietnam, and he was wounded in Vietnam, actually. He got a Purple Heart, and when he came back from Vietnam, he was stationed at Camp Lejeune in Jacksonville, North Carolina. And he had a good Baptist brother who was in the Marines with him, and he asked him to come to a church service with him one Sunday night. And he came with him, just, you know, thought, why not? He grew up going to some VBSs and things like that, that kind of thing. But, you know, his family, my grandparents, weren't really the members of any church. But he came just to see, you know, just to go to a church service. He came, was sitting there. After the service, the pastor was giving an invitation for people to call on Jesus and make him their Lord and Savior. He was not really intending to come down at all. He had no intention of, you know, that wasn't the purpose that he came to the service that night. But he said as he sat there in the seat, all of a sudden an unseen force started to physically lift him up out of the seat. Amen. You know, Jesus said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. You know, he still draws men unto him, even in supernatural ways. We've seen some of that on the streets this week. People said, man, Josh was saying, seemed like these people were supernaturally receptive. Yeah, they were supernaturally receptive, because there's a supernatural God that convicts of sin and of righteousness and of judgment. And there is Jesus who said, if I be lifted up, I will draw them. And there is a drawing power to the gospel. And that same power that drew those fish from all over the Lake of Gennesaret in Luke chapter 5, it's still drawing men today, that same kind of power. So that was my dad. He's sitting in his seat, minding his own business. And he says it seemed like there was this physical force that was lifting him up. He grabbed onto the edge of his seat. He's holding himself in. And he says it's pulling on him. I mean, it's an unseen force, and it's pulling him on. And the pastor keeps exhorting, is there anybody here? And my dad's like, holding on, man. Something's trying to pull him out of his seat. And eventually the pastor kept on, pressing. But my dad resisted, and he said it subsided, so he never did go down that night. But he went back to the barracks, and he's laying there in his rack in the barracks, and he says, even though God had got his attention, how many know God could get your attention? Even though he didn't go down that night, God had got a hold of his heart. So he's laying there in the bed, and he finally can't handle it anymore. He's not going to sleep. He goes and he wakes up his buddy. It's after lights out, who took him to church, his Baptist buddy. He goes and he wakes him up. And he says to him, listen, he tells him the story I just told you. And he says, I don't know, man. He goes, I don't know what happened, but I'll tell you this. I'm going with you next Sunday. And when your pastor gives the invitation, I'm going to go down and I'm going to make Jesus my Lord and Savior. Well, this guy, being the good Baptist that he was, said, you don't have to wait until next Sunday. And they hit their knees right in that Marine barracks. And my dad called on Jesus' name, and he was gloriously born again. Amen. And, he was a troop handler. How many we got? Our Army guys here tonight? Frank, you here? Anybody here? All right, yeah, we got. All right. He was a troop handler, my dad, for after he got back, So he's running guys and calling out cadences, So after he got born again, Marine cadences, they were rough, man. A lot of vulgarity and stuff. He censored all his cadences. Yeah. Amen. All his cadences. Now he made them, I guess family friendly. But anyhow, praise God. That was his story, So he got born again. And then, after he got out of the Marines and stuff and he came back up to Ohio, he was dealing with some things. He met my mom, married my mom, dealing with some complications with his wound. What had happened was he was in a firefight, and it was actually friendly fire, but they were engaged with the enemy. And that's why he got the Purple Heart. And what happened was, in the chaos of, the fog of war, a man fired an M14 just a short distance from his ear in the chaos of a firefight. Well, you hear guns from miles away. You could imagine when it's just a couple feet away, really. Bam, blew out his eardrum instantly, knocked him unconscious. He was bleeding out of his ear right in the middle of a firefight. And so then that was his wound. That's what he got. He was dealing with problems with that. The Navy corpsman had told him that he would lose his hearing eventually in that ear. Well, on top of that, he was dealing with post-traumatic stress. So you probably heard about that. So he's having nightmares at night and things like that. And, waking up in cold sweats and, night terror and things like that. Well, somebody had given, or he came across a book in a Christian bookstore that talked about healing, what we're talking about tonight, and that Jesus was still a healer. And he began to read that. And he saw just simply, he said, the main point that he got across from this book was just that God was a good God. Jesus was the same. God was good, and he wanted to do good in his life. Acts 10:38 says Jesus went about doing good. Everybody say good. He said he went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So you see the devil oppressing people, but you see Jesus doing good and healing people. And my dad got this book, and he's reading it. And through just reading it and standing on the word, his ear was healed, for one thing. He had dealt with that, and he's now in his 60s, and he hears better out of that ear than he did in his 20s, praise God, when he was wounded in Vietnam. And then this post-traumatic stress, he began to see that Jesus was the Prince of Peace. How many know post-traumatic stress isn't peace? Waking up at night in terror and stuff. And he saw that God wanted him to have peace, and he went to praying about it. And he had this one particular reoccurring nightmare that there would be a Viet Cong soldier stabbing him again and again with a bayonet. And it would reoccur night after, he'd wake up in a terror and he would just have this. And he stood on the word, and he said one night he had that dream. And all of a sudden, a lion came out of the jungle and attacked that Viet Cong soldier. And he said that was the last night that he had that dream. The Bible says that Jesus is the Lion of Judah. Amen. And he's slept in peace since then. So I was raised with this. I was raised believing in Jesus, that he's alive, that he's a healer still today. And, I remember when my dad also is an animal lover. And when I was young, I just told this story at the pastor's house the other night. When I was young, we had a dog named Heidi. Now, she came down with cancer. She got very sick. She was a few years old, liver cancer, and started throwing up and having, bad symptoms and things like that. And, how many had a dog growing up? When you have a dog, it's like a family member, right? But my dad loved this dog. And so my mom took the dog to the vet, and the vet examined the dog, took a blood test, sent it away to somewhere, you know, and they determined that the dog would not live a month because she had, you know, this liver cancer. They gave her some medication, not to heal her, but just to make her, you know, more comfortable. Doctor said, you won't have to have this refilled. The dog won't last as long as this prescription. Well, we took the dog home. My mom told my dad the report. And my dad looked up a scripture in Deuteronomy 28. Did you know that it says that God, because of Jesus, the blessings of Abraham are ours? And my dad found scriptures that talked about your livestock being blessed. Now, I grew up in Cleveland, or Parma, right outside of Cleveland, Ohio. The only livestock we had room for was a miniature collie. Amen? So that was our livestock. But he said, it applied, you know. It applied. So I remember us all as a family gathering around this dog, and my dad standing on the word and saying, you said our livestock would be blessed, and cancer's not a blessing. And he said, you know, so we're praying for this dog. Well, anyways, a month goes by. All these symptoms in the dog leave. She's not throwing up anymore. She's well. And then, you know, the prescription runs out. Month worth of prescription. Now, well, what do we do? Now she's still fine. You know, she's doing well. Dog's still alive. My mom goes back to the vet, takes the dog back. What do we do now? He looks at the dog and examines the dog. He was a Sikh of the Eastern religion. You know, wears a turban and all that. He examines the dog and he says, pulls my mom aside. He said, if my colleagues who I sent this blood test to, if they knew that this dog was still alive, they'd laugh at me, he said. And then this Sikh, this man from India, he said, there's only one explanation for this. Your God healed this dog. Amen. Hallelujah. It was a testimony to him, praise God. And my mom got to tell him, you know, witness to him. Thank God. Well, anyways, you know, I always like to say this. If God will do that for a dog that Jesus didn't die for, how much will he do that for you? Amen. He loves you more than a dog. Amen. Turn to your neighbor, say, neighbor, he loves you more than a dog. Yet even the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the master's table. Isn't that right? Praise God. So, you know, that was growing up. And my dad prayed for us, and I was raised in this. So then I'm in college, you know. A few years go by, and I'm in college. I went to art school before I went into ministry. And God began to stir my heart to start a outreach on the campus. And just a Bible study, because there was nothing at my school. There was no Fellowship of Christian, small school, no Fellowship of Christian Athletes, no Baptist Student Union, no InterVarsity. There was nothing at my school, nothing at all. So I said, well, nobody's doing anything. Something should be done. Why not me? And that's really how I started in ministry. I just said, well, somebody's got to do it. And I guess I'll do it. But, you know, maybe you've ever felt like this. I looked at the things that were stacked, and I knew if God wanted to start a ministry, he'd want people to be born again at the school. I knew that would be part of the vision. And I looked at the things that were stacked against people coming into the kingdom at my school, the skepticism, you know, kind of the climate of the school, if you will. Did you know that the climate now in our country, it's a little more difficult than it's been times before for people to come into the kingdom? You ever noticed that? The climate's changed a little bit. And it was a little intimidating to me. I thought, man, I want to share the gospel with people, but how are we going to do this? And then I thought about this. I thought, I praise God for every effort that's ever been made to reach the lost. But, you know, some of the groups on other schools I'd seen were using, you know, ice cream socials and pizza parties and to reach the campuses. And it's not, listen, every effort that's taken to reach a lost person is admirable and commendable. But in light of what was stacked against it, I thought, my God, how are we going to reach the world with pizza parties and ice cream socials, you know? Are you hearing me? I mean, think about it. Even Peter, he would have had a hard time with that deal if he had to depend on ice cream. You know, he needed the man at the gate beautiful. So anyways, I started to study the word, and I'm like, Lord, what do we do? Now, there was two reasons that Jesus worked miracles. Everybody say two reasons. One was the obvious. One was the Bible tells us that he looked on the multitudes and he had compassion on the sick. The first was compassion. You know, it wasn't just to establish messianic credentials, or just to let the world know who he was. But it was also he had compassion on the sick. Now, that's one reason that I believe that that's one rock solid reason settled in my heart. While I believe that there will always be miracles as long as they're needed. Because no matter what may change, the compassion of God will never grow cold. And as Jesus looked at those multitudes, he had compassion on them. And he's still in 2014. He's looking down at this group gathered here tonight with the same compassion that compelled him to heal the sick 2,000 years ago. He's looking at you with that same compassion. So that was one reason, because of compassion. And that was the first reason. But then the second reason, it was a sign that confirmed the word. Amen. It was a sign that confirmed the word. And I believe that a supernatural message demands supernatural evidence. In other words, if we're the people of God and God's in our midst, it should look like he's in our midst. Hallelujah. There is something that sets us apart. You know, the world today, it's kind of like Mount Carmel, isn't it? You know, on Mount Carmel, they were divided between two opinions. Who's God? Well, there's a lot more than two opinions today. But, you know, God has always had a way that he's liked to settle that confusion. He's still the God that he likes to answer with fire. Amen. He likes to settle it, and he still likes to settle it today. So anyways, I'm on the campus, and I'm praying, and I came across this scripture, John 14:12. Whosoever believeth in me, the works that I do, would they do also. And I assumed, you know, reading it, there it is in the book of John. I guess John 14:12 is just as true as John 3:16. Amen. And I came across it, and I saw, my God, he said, whosoever believeth in me, the works that I do, would they do also. And, you know, that's an empowerment scripture, because it didn't say if you're an evangelist or a prophet or anything like that. I just saw whosoever. I said, well, I'm a whosoever, and I believe in God. I believe in Jesus. Jesus is saying I can pray for the sick, and there would be a miraculous results. Well, now, how could that happen? How could we pray for the sick and get miraculous results? Well, then he answers the question as you go down. He says, because I tell you, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. So Jesus is right there to do what he's always done when you ask in his name. How many believe that Jesus backs up his name? He said, whatever you ask in my name, that I'll do. And I said, man, this stirred my heart. So there I am on this campus. And I was going to a little church outside of Cleveland. And the pastor asked me to cover for him one Sunday when he was out of town. And this scripture was stirring in my heart. And we invited, I was preaching, and I preached on what that movie was on tonight, The Woman with the Issue of Blood. I preached on that, and I love the story of the woman with the issue of blood because, you know, Jesus didn't specially choose her or pick her out of a crowd. Jesus didn't come and knock on her door and say, you know, daughter, I've chosen you. But here she was in a crowd of people. She just heard about Jesus, just like you. How many have heard about Jesus? She just heard about Jesus. She must have heard that he was a healer because from what she heard, she determined, I'll go touch the hem of his garment and I'll be healed. So she heard that he was a healer and she said, if I touch the hem of his garment, I will be made whole. And then she goes and she touches the hem of his garment. Power goes out of Jesus, flows into her, and she's made whole of her plague. Amen. And then Jesus, he doesn't know who it is, the Bible tells us. And he turns and he looks at the multitude and he says, who touched me? He knows power went out of him. That means that power was for everybody in that whole multitude. As far as Jesus was concerned, it could have been anybody. So I preach on that story often because it's an encouragement to me. It's an encouragement to you. Jesus didn't choose her. She chose Jesus and the power of God met her. Amen. Well, how could that be? Because Jesus already chose her. Amen. So I was preaching on it that morning and five people came down, and I remember one person had hurt their shoulder playing tennis or something like that. They twisted it pretty bad, couldn't move it, couldn't lift it above their shoulder. Another woman had some problem with her toes. They'd been hurt and she hurt them in some way. And then the other three, I don't remember, but it was something that they knew that they could tell their pain of some sort. And I just trusted in Jesus. I just said, Jesus, you said whatever I ask in your name that you would do. And I didn't see myself as fit for the occasion. I didn't see myself as up to the task. In fact, if I was to look to myself, there's a lot of insecurity there, right? I mean, what could we do to help somebody like that? But I looked to Jesus because he said, whatever you ask in my name, that I will do. And I depended on him to do what he's always done. And I depended on him to do what he said he would do. Amen. And I just prayed for those people in Jesus' name. And all five of them testified that instantly the symptoms left their body. The man who couldn't lift his hand, the man who couldn't lift his arm up above his shoulder, full movement was restored. The woman who had hurt her toes, she could move her toes again. And then, the other three, whatever it was, I just remember they testified. Didn't stand out in my mind as much for some reason. But, you know, Jesus did that. And I saw that he was the same yesterday, today, and forever, and that he would do what he said he would do. And he's here to help you like that tonight. Amen. Whatever you ask in my name, that I'll do, he said. And so my confidence tonight for you and my confidence as we train people and send them out is that Jesus Christ, he still heals the sick. He still helps people. He still loves people just like he always does. It's, in other words, I don't come like Paul said, my sufficiency is not of myself, but my sufficiency is of him. I have no sufficiency of myself, but my sufficiency is of him. I can't heal the sick, but Jesus can, and he always has, and he still does today. Amen. And we don't pray in the name of any denomination. We don't pray in the name of any church. We don't even pray in the name of just a religion. But we simply pray in the name that's above every other name named, the name of Jesus, to which every knee bows and every tongue confesses. Amen. And Jesus said, when we do that, the Father will be glorified in the Son. You know why the Father is glorified? Because when somebody sick is healed, any logical human being knows that no human could have done it. The Father's glorified in the Son. Because the hand of God is seen where the ability of man ends. Amen? The hand of God is seen where the ability of man ends. And so Jesus said, whatever you ask in my name, that I'll do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. So that, you know, that's how I started. And then there was a lot of other things that happened. Launched out into evangelism a little while after that, a few years after that. I remember I preached my... Well, that's a different story. We won't go there. So only so much we could cover on this Sunday night after outreach. This is like our third service today. So I'll give you the Reader's Digest version. Amen. So then we launched out and we started praying for people and we went out on the road and started traveling, you know, and going from town to town. It's been 25 states now and 5 countries that the Lord's opened doors for us, and we're grateful for it. And we've seen God do a lot of things. We've seen God heal people and help people. I remember I was up in Cleveland, up outside of in a church right in Cleveland. A woman came to the service one night named Kimberly. And Kimberly had been in a house fire, and she had seriously damaged her lungs in a house fire. And she came with oxygen that night, and she came skeptical, and she wasn't really sure about this whole thing. And she just kind of came in, and we prayed for her that night. First I said this. I ministered to her, and I said, well, what's wrong? And she says, well, I have trouble breathing and trouble walking. Well, that was an understatement. She, like I said, her lungs were seriously damaged, and she was on 8 different kinds of medication and so on and so forth. I said, I prayed for her, and I said, would you take a walk with me? You know, Jesus always asks people to do something. To the lame man, he said, take up your bed and walk. To the man with the withered hand, he said, stretch forth thy hand. So I said, would you take a walk with me? When she gave her testimony later, she said, she kind of glared at me. Like, didn't you just hear me? I said, I can't walk. You know, I have trouble breathing. But she did it. She was a good sport. I took her by the hand and we took a walk around that sanctuary. It was a long one and about this wide. We took a walk around. When I got to the front, I just was praying for her as we walked. And when I got to the front, I noticed that her expression was changing. And when we got to the front, her face kind of lit up and she was kind of smiling. And I said, would you like to go again? She didn't even answer me, but she took off and she started running. And she's dragging me now like this, you know. And we went around and took a second lap. We got to the front and she was jumping up and down. I'm out of breath. You know, I was like running at the time and everything. And I'm like, I still run, but I was like all out of breath, hunched over. She's running around, praising God, jumping up and down. God set her free. She never put back on her oxygen tank. She went back to the doctor. Amen. And the doctor said, what happened here? She said, do you believe in miracles? The doctor said, yes, I did. And yes, I do. And she told him the story. Amen. Jesus did that. Everybody say Jesus did that. Then I was in a service one time in North Kingsville, Ohio, and it was a little meeting, and actually it was a training session, and we were training people to pray for the sick. This is years ago, and took a few nights, so it's mostly believers there. But there was a woman there, she had fibromyalgia, and on the first night we prayed for her, she was racked with pain all the time. And praise God, she had a lot of pain, and she was, you know, stiffness, it inhibited her at work. So we prayed for her that night. So then the next night, we've got another session, and we see a new person. It was a small crowd, so you always know when there's a new person in a small crowd. So everybody kind of went over and said hi to her, you know, and welcomed her. And my wife, Jocelyn, went over to her and said, what church do you go to? And she said, well, I'm searching for my spirituality. And we said, oh, okay. So Jocelyn came and told me, you know, wait, make sure you give an invitation tonight. This woman here, she said she's searching for her spirituality, you know. I said, great, sure. So what had happened was, you know, I just preached that night like normal. We gave an invitation. She raised her hand and she made Jesus Christ her Lord and Savior. What happened was that woman who we prayed for the last night with the fibromyalgia, she went to work Tuesday. And this woman who she worked with was an atheist. hardcore atheist, raised her children to be atheist. But she saw her friend, this woman who was bound and racked with pain, she saw her walk into work and she was able to do what she couldn't do before. And then she said, how did this happen? She knew that something happened. How did this happen? She said, Jesus healed me. I was at this meeting. I was prayed for. She came to the meeting. She, amen. She called on Jesus' name and she was born again because she saw that the Jesus of the Bible, he's still alive today. Amen. We were, praise God, we were up in Maine. And it's funny about towns. I mean, they don't say it as much down south, but everywhere other than the Bible Belt, mostly they say, oh, it won't work here, you know, witnessing and sharing the gospel with people. Oh, yeah, that was in Georgia. But so Maine was another, you know, Russia, it won't work in Russia. Maine, oh, it won't work in New England, you know. Yeah, this is Cleveland, it won't work here, you know. I mean, amen, it works everywhere. Thank God the gospel is the power of God unto salvation. So we were up in Maine. I'm just thinking about atheists here. And Jocelyn was minister, and we do a lot, you know, street work like here. And we were out there doing some, she was witnessing to some people, and she's sharing the gospel with these young guys and young girls. And then this one young teenager was behind her, and she turned and asked her, she said, would you like to pray with us? She said, no, I don't believe that. I believe in science. I'm an atheist. She was probably 14. And Jocelyn said, really? And she said, well, let me tell you what I believe, and shared the gospel with her. And then she just shared some miracle stories like I'm sharing tonight. Let me tell you what God has done for me. And it touched the girl's heart. You know, a witness, if you're a witness in court, you say, this is what I've seen and this is what I've heard. Isn't that right? Same if you're a witness for Jesus. You say, let me tell you what I personally have witnessed Jesus do. And you share what he's done for your life. You share your testimony. You share what he's done. Amen. So she was witnessing to her. She said, let me tell you some stories. And then the girl, she was touched by the stories. And Jocelyn said, can I pray for you? And she said, yes. Pretty good progress for an atheist. Amen. She said, yes. And Jocelyn grabbed hands with her. And just the presence, as she prayed with her, just the presence of the Lord, just prayed for, just the presence of the Lord touched the girl. Jocelyn had her eyes closed, but she was holding her hands. And she felt tears falling on her arms. Amen. And the girl was crying. And then Jocelyn asked her, would you like to pray the sinner's prayer with me? And would you like to, you know, call on Jesus' name? She said, yes, I would. So she called in Jesus' name. And then she said, you've got to tell my parents about this. And she takes Jocelyn to her parents' house to share the gospel with them. She goes from atheist to street evangelist in like 5 minutes. Amen. Praise God. Well, her parents were unavailable, but the girl called on Jesus' name that day. Amen. Jesus is alive, isn't he? And he's still helping people today like he always has. And he's still, praise God, confirming the word with signs following. He still is a man attested to the world through signs, wonders, and miracles. So I'll share a few more stories, I guess, tonight, and then we'll minister to the sick. We were here in Augusta, and many of you are familiar with the story, but I've seen a lot of new faces in this meeting. So there's a few. Praise God. Which ones? There's a few more we'll share. All right. I'm just kind of firing from the hip tonight. Is that okay? As the Lord leads. So I was up in Ashtabula. Jason, my fellow evangelist friend here, who does a lot of street ministry, he just ministered at this church a couple days ago, Kenny Roberts Church. I was up there years ago. And I've been in the ministry for about 11 years. I've been traveling full time. And I was up there pretty close to when I stepped out. And we were there one night, and a young boy came forward, and one leg was considerably shorter than the other, about 3 or 4 inches. And he came forward, and the mother said, would you pray for him? So we sat him down in the front pew, and I put my palms underneath his heels there, and I closed my eyes, and I prayed for him. And as we commanded in Jesus' name, that leg just shot out. And he got up and he started walking. And his mother began to cry. She said, why are you crying? I asked her. She said, you didn't see. When he walked up here, he was limping. He's not limping anymore. Now he could walk normal. And he went out there and he played a game of basketball. Amen. But you know, I missed the whole thing. I learned now why the Bible says watch him pray. Because I had my eyes closed. And I prayed and I opened my eyes. I didn't even know anything happened. You know, I mean, I didn't see him walk up. That's why the Bible says watch him pray. Amen. So now I keep them open, which reminds me of another story. I'm down in Forest City, North Carolina, and at a Foursquare church, a man comes forward. He says, I've got cataracts. And we said, all right. So he took off his glasses and set them on the podium. And I said, here's what I'm going to do, brother. I said, you keep your eyes open. I want you to watch those cataracts fade away because I'd learned to watch and pray. Amen. So we prayed for him. And he said he just watched. He kept his eyes open and he watched as they just peeled back and he could see. Jesus still opens blind eyes today. Amen. You know, I guess, you know, some people, they believe that somewhere, you know, that God stopped doing miracles. And from what I understand, it was somewhere around the year 400 that guys looked around, you know, and they said, man, it doesn't seem like he's doing these things anymore like he did in the apostolic age. And they tried to give some kind of explanation for it. So they said, I guess he just stopped. Boy, you know, I'm glad we don't do that about salvation. I don't think that what's happening in the world is a good climate for what God wants and doesn't want to do. A good measuring stick, if you will, you know. You know, if we looked around and said, you know, there's not a lot of people getting saved. I guess we better just, you know, I guess God's not saving anymore. No, the arm of the Lord is not short that he cannot save. Amen. He's still saving today. In fact, some of our brothers and sisters who've gone before us, like Jonathan Edwards, they would look around and they'd say, man, there's not a lot of people going, getting saved. We're not having the effect that we should be having on our society. They didn't just write it off and say, well, I guess God doesn't save people anymore. They went to God in prayer. And then all of a sudden people started getting saved again. Like by the truckload, you know, or wagon load, I guess, in the 1700s. Like lots of folks. So we can't let what happens or doesn't happen in our circumstance determine what God does or doesn't want to do. We need to look to the Word. And in the Word, I see that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. And no matter what day you wake up, if it's 1714, 1814, or 2014, that Bible still says today. And that means that Jesus still today is a miracle worker like he's always been. Amen. That means Jesus still today heals the sick just like he always has. And that's good news for you because he's looking down at you today and whatever you're facing. And you know, the Bible says he went about doing good, like I said, and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. He went from town to town and from village to village. It says 24 times in the New Testament that he healed them all, or he healed everyone. We're talking about thousands of people, you know. He's going from town to town and village to village and healing thousands of people. We know this because there was 5,000 men when he multiplied the fish and the loaves, and then that didn't even count the women and the children. So he's dealing with these kind of crowds, and he's healing every single sick person that's in all these crowds. What does that mean? That means if you were one of the people in one of those towns, you would be one that Jesus healed. And if Jesus Christ is the same today, amen, that means he's looking on our town just like he looked on those towns. And he's here to do the same that he's always done. You know, my Bible theology is just based on Jesus. And maybe this will clear some things up for you. I was sitting I was in Parma, Ohio. And my grandmother had just had a massive stroke. And they called me. They didn't think she was going to live through the night. My mom called me. I went to the hospital. And she was totally unconscious. And she had an oxygen mask on. And she wasn't, you know, she was alive, but they didn't expect the damage. Originally, they were going to life flight her. Then they canceled the life flight. They said, we're not going to do it. And so then they said, you know, they start filling out hospice paperwork. I mean, it was that fast. You know, they just said that happened that night. They start filling out the hospice paperwork. She's laying there in the bed. My mom calls me. I got up there pretty late in the night. And you're kind of wondering what to do. You know, she lived a full life. My grandfather, she was born again. My grandfather had been born again and went home to be with the Lord 15 years earlier. She's there. They were raised Roman Catholic, but they accepted the Lord. You know, both of them made a profession. We knew it. My grandfather had come forward at a Christmas pageant when we invited him one year, and he answered the altar call and came forward. And my grandmother, we knew, we prayed with her privately, you know. So they're there. We're there. She's in the bed, and she's got an oxygen mask on. She's unconscious. And I'm seriously asking the Lord what to do, what to pray here. You know, I want to do something, but she'd lived a full life, but still, what do you do? Here she is alive. She's on the threshold of eternity. And Lord, what do I pray? And I'm just searching my heart to see what to pray in this situation, talking to the Lord. I'd taken my mom home, came back to the hospital. It's way up in the morning. I'm just by myself. And, you know, they let me come after visiting hours. I'm just by myself in this hospital room praying to the Lord, seeing what to do. And I began to think back, and I'm thinking back about Jesus. And I said, you know, I'm just talking to the Lord, honestly. I mean, I'm not looking for preaching material. I'm just asking, I'm searching my heart, saying, Lord, what do I do here? And I said, you know, Lord, if it's her time to go, I understand. I said, but you just don't do things this way. You know, she had a massive stroke. I said, you don't just do things this way. I never saw Jesus lay his hands on somebody and give them a stroke. And like we read tonight, he said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Isn't that right? And I'm talking to the Lord. I'm being honest. I said, Lord, I never saw Jesus take a lead pipe and knock out somebody's kneecap so they can't walk. I never saw Jesus pluck out somebody's eyes so they couldn't see. You know, I grew up in church, like I said, and we had felt boards. Anybody grow up with felt boards? You know, and the felt boards had all the miracle stories, you know, the blind seeing. And I don't remember the one where Jesus busted out somebody's eardrum so they couldn't see. You know, there's Jesus busting out the man's eardrums, and they put it up on there, you know. Are you hearing me? And this is what I'm saying to the Lord, because I'm just trying to sort this situation out. And I'm like, I never saw Jesus. And Jesus said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. You'd think that he would have given us at least one person that he gave some horrible disease. You know, just one person that he busted him up pretty good. But the Bible says he went about doing good and healing all. Everybody say all. So I said, Lord, because of your word, I feel obligated to stand against this. I said, I just because of the example you've given in your word, I feel obligated to stand against this stroke, just to take a stand. You know, whatever happens, happens. But I feel obligated in the name of Jesus to take a stand against this. This isn't you. It may very well be her time, but you didn't give her a stroke. Amen. So I put my hands on her, and I just commanded those stroke symptoms to go on the authority of the name of Jesus. Went home. She's still unconscious. Went home. The next morning, I get a phone call from my mom. She says, your grandmother's up. She's conscious. She's eating. The doctor who examined her the night before came in, and she said, if I did not examine that woman myself, I wouldn't even believe it was the same person, the doctor said. She said, I've never seen anybody recover from a stroke like that. I said, praise God. She said, the doctor said, what happened? My mom said, well, my son's a minister. He was up here with her last night, and he prayed for her. The doctor said, would you have your son pray for me? You know, when you make the doctor a believer, something happened, you know. Well, you know, like I said, they were filling out hospice paperwork that night. The doctor said, what do you want me to do? And my mom said, well, how about, you know, what can we do about therapy, you know? Now the doctor said, absolutely, let's do it. She goes from hospice to insurance covered therapy in like 8 hours. Amen. That's a miracle. Amen. Praise God. So she went to a nursing home, eating, talking, you know, right, literally raised up off a deathbed. Well, who did that? Jesus did that. Who was glorified? Was I glorified? Not really, because that doctor knew that something else happened besides what I could do. She said, what happened here? Somebody prayed. Well, yeah, I prayed, but she knew that God had gotten involved in that situation and did what was impossible for man. And just like that scripture says, the Father was glorified in the Son. Amen. Amen. Praise God. He's here tonight. Turn to your neighbor and say, neighbor, he's here. Share a couple more stories. You like stories? Is this encouraging anybody? We were here, you know, and Vinny was here. Josh and Molly were here all this weekend, and 2 years ago, summer 2012, they invited their friend Vinny from Charleston, South Carolina, and they brought him here to ride jet skis, and he didn't really know what was in store for him. They came in on a Saturday night, and he was here for the jet skis, you know. And then Sunday morning comes around, and they all wake up, and they say, come on, we're going to church. Vinny's 21 years old. He described himself as a very ungodly person by his own definition. And he woke up Sunday morning, and they said, come on, we're going to church. He said, no, I don't go to church. You go to church. That's your thing. I don't go to church, you know. He said, come on, we're going to church. They drag him here, basically, you know. So that morning, Nate's brother spoke, and he did an awesome job, man. He had a great message, and it was powerful. And got Vinny's attention. And, you know, we announced that miracle service for that night. And Vinny said, these guys are kind of nuts, but I got to see, you know, I got to see more. Kind of like a car wreck. He can't take his eyes away, you know. He's like, these guys are crazy. But so now they drag him Sunday morning, but he's asking to come Sunday night. He's like, I got to see more of these people, you know. And she asked Molly, didn't he ask Molly after the service, you guys really believe this stuff, don't you, you know. So he comes to the service Sunday night, man. And I preached on, what did you come for? Because the Bible says that they came to Jesus, they came to hear and be healed. Isn't that right? And I said, what did you come for tonight? Well, Vinny came to see what we lunatics and radicals were all about, you know. So he came, and we're praying for the sick, and people are getting healed up here. I think, Vanessa, you were one of the first people we prayed for, and God did something for your back. And I remember Vanessa doing calisthenics, right? And you're doing that, and Vinny watched that, and her back was healed, and there were some others. And I remember that. And Vinny's watching this. So he's watching people get healed, and he says, he's thinking to himself, he says, it seems like these people are sincere, but it's not enough to change what I believe. Now, Vinny was an atheist, maybe an agnostic, but really definitely Christianity wasn't on his radar. And he said, maybe there's a higher power, but he was leaning towards just nothing, you know. And so he says, yeah, it seems like these people are sincere, but it's not enough to change what I believe. He said, I guess if it happened to me, I'd believe it. Well, what he was talking about was when he was 15 years old, a lot of you guys were there that night. When he was 15 years old, doctors had removed a tumor from his left ear. They'd taken it out surgically. And in the process, he was left deaf. And they knew he would be. They told him that. And that was the consequence of it. They got the tumor. They got it all. But it left him deaf in his left ear. So he says, if this guy's really hearing from God, he says, and if he, you know, if God's really talking to him, he'd know I was here and he'd know what was wrong with me. I mean, this guy's putting water on the altar, man. He's like another bucket, you know? And so if he was here, he'd know I was here and he'd know what was wrong with me. At that second that he finishes that thought, I didn't even realize at the time how supernatural it was. I said, wait. I forgot to minister to ears. The Lord was talking to me about ears earlier today. And I said, we're going to minister to ears here. And now I've got Vinny's attention. And now this was funny because I said, there's somebody here and you can't hear out of your right ear. It's Vinny's left ear. But somehow from where it left my mouth to when it got to Vinny, he heard left ear. He was like, yeah, that's me, left ear, that's me. And I'm saying right ear. Somebody here with the right ear. Yep, that's me, left ear. I don't know. Amen. I'm serious. It's part of the miracle, you know. We're imperfect. He's perfect. And he got the job done. And he's like, yep, he's talking to me. My left ear. I know he's talking to me. So, amen. So I just said, he never came forward. He never, you know, I never laid hands on him or anything. We just prayed right from the front. I didn't even know who it was. I had no idea. Never met him before. Just commanded in Jesus' name. Ears here in the name of Jesus. He said he reached up and he touched his ear and there was a crackle and like a radio station coming into tune and he could hear for the first time in 6 years. Amen. Hallelujah. And that night, shortly after that, we gave an invitation for people to be born again. Vinny said when that ear opened, he told us later, we got his testimony on video, it's on our YouTube station. He said when that ear opened, he said everything I believe changed that moment. Everything I believe changed that moment. Right after that, we gave an invitation for people to be born again. Vinny called on the name of Jesus. And he said it felt like a weight was lifted off. He said he felt like all his sin and shame was lifted off him. He felt like a physical difference, like all his guilt and shame was just lifted. We've heard testimonies like that. The beautiful thing is Vinny didn't know it was supposed to feel like that. He just said, that's just what it felt like. He called on Jesus' name. He said all the guilt and shame was lifted off. Then he said he looked around at all of you. And he said, they just seemed like regular people when I walked in. But somehow after that happened, I just looked around and I just saw love on everybody's faces. Amen. So then I went back to Pastor Matt's office. You know, I didn't, still don't know any of this happened. I went back to Pastor Matt's office and Jocelyn ran into Vinny in the foyer and he says, listen, I got to tell you something. And he tells her the story that I just told you, you know, this famous story now around Good News, at least around my ministry, it's famous, but you know, here too. And Jocelyn comes and gets me and she says, you got to hear this and brings me out to Vinny in the foyer. And I said, man, what happened, you know? And he said, it tells me the story. I was just sitting there. I've been deaf. God opened up my ear, the whole thing. I said, man, can I pray for you? I mean, just pray for God's plan for his life and stuff. He says, no, 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 no. he holds out his hand and he's like this. He goes, this is a lot, man. He holds out his hand. He goes, look. And he goes, look, man, look. I mean, he can't even control it. He's physically trembling. He woke up that morning an atheist and went to bed that night knowing that the Jesus of the Bible was alive because he opened up his deaf ear as he sat in a service. Praise God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Woke up that morning a skeptic and went to bed an on fire believer. Praise God. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.